The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
This is Mike Consul.
And I'm Loretta Klodfelter.
Welcome to Inside the Edition, the first Inside the Edition podcast of the new year and of the decade, Loretta. What do you have going in the new edition?
I was hoping we could talk about the lead feature from the January issue, 2020 Vision. What might real estate investors see in the year ahead?
Tell us about what the prognosticators are saying.
We are at this point. It's a very late cycle environment. So, you know, that's sort of the thing everyone's talking about. It's true. We are 10 years into an economic expansion. This is pretty unprecedented, especially for the U.S. Context. I believe Australia has had a quite long expansion experience. But, you know, what this means, 10 years into an economic expansion, a lot of people are asking, well, you know, how long will this last? How do you think about being in a late cycle? What can we expect looking ahead? And what I find very interesting is how optimistic the mood has become in the last 6 months versus where we were maybe a couple years ago. And I think one of the things that's really driving that is the sort of the Federal Reserve loosening of monetary policy over the past year. You know, they started tightening a couple years ago, raising interest rates, you know, the target federal funds rate, and that, you know, sort of filters out into the broader market, raising interest rates sort of everywhere and, you know, just making the cost of money harder in a way that kind of, it sort of keeps things from getting too out of control bubble action. And maybe it's possible they pulled the punch bowl away too soon. Maybe it isn't. But the last year has seen interest rates get lowered. The target federal funds rate was lowered three separate times by the Federal Open Market Committee. And so, you know, what we're actually seeing is projections of economic growth of, you know, a couple percentage points over the course of the year, which is, it's not bad. You know, it's obviously...
Our economy is what? It's $20 trillion now. A huge economy like that growing at 2% is not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, I we're not going to achieve the sort of 6%, 10%, 12% growth you're going to see in an emerging economy because there's just so much rapid development going on in that situation. You know, the U.S. is a very mature economy, but it is interesting, I think, how the mood looking ahead is, it's pretty good. You know, employment, very strong. Unemployment at 3.5%, that's, you know, 50-year lows on the unemployment rate. We're seeing job growth every month, but, you know, we're not seeing out-of-control inflation. We're seeing modest wage increases, but not enough to trigger real, you know, sort of wage-price spirals. We're seeing quite high consumer confidence right now. I think this is one of the things, you know, with the financial crisis just did a number on everyone's confidence. Yeah. I mean, that was no little recession. That was the Great Recession. And, you know, it takes a while for people to kind of come back from that. But we are seeing, you know, consumer confidence is high. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of positive indicators for growth without too many signs of inflation or sort of runaway bubble activity. And that's also being seen in real estate, which looks, you know, pretty solid coming into 2020. It's, you know,
what is the capacity of the real estate market right now? Because one of the, obviously, real estate developers and investors need to think in terms of, are markets getting overbuilt? are they getting too expensive? Are we overpaying for, is going to secondary markets going to be as successful as what we can get in the primary markets? Is there any sense out there that, hey, there's plenty of capacity, we've been very restrained in the real estate expansion, and there's lots of room for more growth?
I mean, I think the expectation for fundamentals for most property types in 2020 is to see a sort of a moderate increase in vacancies. Because as you point out, there has been sort of some acceleration of development because loose money and confidence does inspire developers to build things. And while that's largely a positive, there may be some markets that maybe get a little too overbuilt. Although overbuilding outside of certain pockets doesn't seem to be an issue yet. But you can expect maybe apartment rates maybe go up 20 basis points in vacancy over the next year. But even still, you can expect probably good rent growth in a lot of markets. So, the office market, probably maybe, another, 70 or so basis points is one forecast. I think that's what CBRE thinks might happen. But, we're going to see still strong job growth in office-using professions. And so, again, I think this is one of the situations where it is a late cycle. Caution is warranted, but the economic
picture.
But
people are feeling better, you're saying. Let me ask
you
this.
The economy looks good.
But do you think that the fact that in the last 6 months, as you said, that people are feeling better and more confident, is that an ominous sign at all? Because we don't normally go into a recession with people saying, oh, boy, we're going to go into a recession. I mean, I know economists are predicting something by 2021, maybe 2020, but we tend to be pretty exuberant right when we get hit in the face with all the chili.
Oh, I think you're completely right. And this is one of those situations where, there is rising optimism about the economic position, but there are still a number of things that could change that picture. So, we've got a looming election in the U.S. That's taking up a huge amount of just oxygen. And depending on how that shakes out, could have real implications for economic growth moving forward. We have Brexit internationally finally seems to be going to become a thing, but that's going to have some growth impacts in Europe and perhaps for the UK's trading partners as well. We're going to see, continued trade war rhetoric. It looks like we've got a deal for the new North American Free Trade Act, whether the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the USMCA, NAFTA 2.0. Looks like that deal's done, but we're still doing our dance with China.
Make a deal,
two steps forward, one step back, and back and forth. That looks good right now. I think that's driving some of the positive confidence is that looks like it's getting resolved. But all of these things could be real downdraft issues in the year ahead. So, obviously it's not all sunshine. It remains to be seen what the Federal Reserve will do, whether they'll make any additional rate cuts. I would worry if they lowered rates too much, because it would mean that in a crisis they wouldn't really have anywhere to go. That's one of the arguments of raising rates in good times, is that then when the economy slows, you can lower interest rates and sort of recharge the economy. But if you come into, if we enter a recession in a situation where they've already they already have low interest rates, there's really not as many levers to pull to try to recharge the economy. So that might be something to be concerned about.
Any categories in real estate, though, that are looking especially promising in 2020? Or did anybody point to any particular property type or sub-property type that they would boom?
The alternatives look good. So, you know, whether you're talking about senior housing, student housing, life science, self-storage, you know, all of those sort of...
Medical office, maybe?
Medical office, exactly. You know, medical office looks to outperform office. Student housing looks to outperform apartments. You know, these alternative sort of new flavors definitely look positioned to outperform the more traditional core versions. You know, industrial has had an incredible run. It might be hitting a little bit of a bump. We shall see. But there's just been so much development of industrial space in response to demand. I mean, there's been a huge demand for industrial as well. But we could be hitting a tipping point there. You know, it really depends on the market as well. But that would be my sense of things.
Mm. So where is the sentiment coming from? In other words, the sources for, I know, of course, we've got our editorial advisory board. Where is the sentiment coming from in addition to the editorial advisory board? Are there certain sources or certain places that you looked in this story where you were getting this type of feedback and this kind of positive sentiment?
I think this is just, for this piece, we spoke with a number of, you know, economists and researchers at different firms. And I think you can just really, you know, so we're looking at sort of an economist consensus right now is fairly positive. And then, you know, just looking at a lot of the indicators, so, you know, consumer confidence index, for instance, is up right now, that sort of thing. So I think that's where you're, you know, that's the sort of maybe more hard data to support this. You know, so looking at unemployment rate, looking at inflation, you know, looking at all the indicators coming into the year and really seeing what kind of a picture they're painting, you know. I think this is a year for caution, but you know, optimism tempered with caution is really what I think we should be looking at 2020 with.
Are economists still talking in terms of they think we'll be fine in 2020, 2021, we'd probably be looking at a correction of some type or a slowdown or even a recession?
That does seem to be sort of the current projection on how this is going to go. But, you know, a recession 18 months from now has been predicted for the last 5 years. So, eventually, they're going to be right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
eventually, there will be. I mean, like, this is a cycle. You kind of, things go up, they go down. Eventually, all those forecasts of looming recession will be correct. I wonder, actually, if the ongoing drumbeat of it's about to fall, it's about to fall, it's about to fall has actually led to greater caution and discipline in the market, which then keeps it from getting out of hand and doing some a sort of a bubble and a, you know, expansion contraction. You know, it's very easy in the predictions game to make forecasts because it's very rare that anyone goes back and checks to see if you were right.
You know, I'm reminded that 10 years, it was probably 10 years ago now, and I was talking to somebody from Clarion Partners, and as at that time, the economy was growing, we were in this expansion, and but there was a lot of criticism about people were really bemoaning the fact that we were coming out slowly. But one of the researchers at Clarion said, I like deliberate pace of this recovery because I believe it will be more sustainable. Maybe that's been borne out that we haven't been growing, you know, it has not been tremendous growth, although fine growth for a very mature economy, as you mentioned earlier. But at the same time, maybe this the gradualness of our recovery has actually given us a longer track rather than burning hot and then flaming out. I don't know whether you've had any discussions on that, not necessarily even for this story, but I wonder if there's something to that.
No, I think that's a really interesting perspective. I do think there may be something in there. You know, there is something to be said about a deliberative, disciplined approach, which does seem to be what we've been experiencing. So, you know, no one knows what the future holds. If we did, we'd make every choice perfectly every time. But we don't. We just have the best we can do based on the indicators we have and the sort of the consensus we have. So, you know, I think that's really our position looking ahead. It's, like I said, sort of a cautious optimism, you know, and then looking at sort of the broader indicators, I think you're gonna see really over the long term, so not just over the next year, but, you know, the next decade, I think the key questions and the key things that we're really going to want to deal with as a nation, as a real estate industry, all of that, looking at demographics, I think, you know, the nice thing about demographic change is you can really see that coming and target it over decades, you know, generations, pretty easy to forecast. Once you have a group of 20-year-olds, you can figure in 20 years they're going to be 40. So that kind of allows a certain amount of forward planning. I think demographic change is going to be a really important thing to pay attention to. And then the other thing is climate risk. I think that's going to be a very big, over the next 10 years, question that the industry will be grappling with.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at the same time, and this is beyond the scope of our discussion, but I just will throw it out there for us to cogitate on for a future, possible future story or what have you, is that there's so much talk right now about artificial intelligence, automation, robotics, and how it's going to take a lot of jobs away. And as a population ages, these demographic questions you're talking about, population ages, it tends to slow down. And now we have shrinking populations, but we're going to be having fewer jobs in the future if a lot of futurists are correct that this one's going to be different. Technology is literally going to take over a lot of the tasks that we do, and not just the repetitive ones. Then all of a sudden, when you look at countries like Germany, Italy, Japan that are losing population, and China is set, they've got a demographic time bomb going right now. Maybe things will change because of because there just are going to need to be fewer people to actually make an economy run. That's a prediction about the future. It's maybe a little bit of a, you know, that might be a little blue sky right there, but there's an awful lot of people who are just saying, you know, this one is going to be different. And I know,
and again,
in Japan, they're trying to use a lot of robots to do jobs that people used to do.
And again, and I think this is what where this sort of dovetails into what we're talking about. Where is this going to take place? What kind of real estate is going to be required? Who's going to occupy space? These are the questions that the real estate industry needs to be interrogating over the next decade.
A lot of repurposing might go on too. Well, we know a lot of repurposing will go
on.
Yeah,
adaptive reuse is very big right now.
And then you've got, the retail to warehouse is going on, and then there's also talk about as automated cars become more prevalent that parking structures may do double, triple, quadruple duty or even be completely converted. It's going to be an interesting future. It's going to be an interesting decade, Loretta, and we're off to a start here.
Welcome
to the 2020 forecast.
Welcome to the roaring 20s.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just interviewed a guy who said he's in his 80s, and he talked about the roaring 20s, and he said, well, guess what? We're in the roaring 20s again. It's going to be the roaring 20s. Let's just hope so, because it'll be a great decade if that's the case. As always, Loretta, thanks for your time. Thanks for the reporting, and we will catch down with you again next month.
Great.